much. Tonight we will be providing you with an evaluation report of the Reading Recovery Program and a second set of recommendations to improve that program. The evaluation was completed based on prior requests that we examine this program. And I also believe that our doing so, in addition to what we do going forward with other programs, is consistent with what is called for in the strategic plan under the resource capacity strategy to evaluate our programs on a, you know, timetable basis. You know, my perspective of this issue is that it does call for a periodic review and evaluation of this program, knowing that there is a great need for interventions, non-special education through the regular education program for our struggling first-grade readers. I mean, that to me is absolutely essential, that we focus on what are the most appropriate interventions for our struggling first-grade readers. This type of program is a Tier 2 intervention. It has specific components to it that are research-based. There's a need for this evaluation as I see it. I think what we need to do is to be able to understand that when things aren't as they should be, how can they be made better? I know there will be a variety of ideas, and we have our recommendations for your considerations. But this hopefully is the beginning of a commitment to evaluate programs on an ongoing basis, and this one is an important one to look at first, or anew, I should say. So with that, I'm going to turn it to Sue, who will provide introductions and an overview.
Yes. Okay. I will start with introductions, and
I'm Mary Ellen LaChance. I'm one of the district's teacher leaders that provides training for and ongoing coaching for teachers. I also work with students.
I'm Ellen Schneider, and I'm also one of the district reading recovery teacher leaders and work with students and with teachers in having classes and also coaching.
I'm Mary Jo Ziegler, Reading and Language Arts Coordinator.
And I'm Tim Potter from Research and Evaluation.
So each one of these people had some input into the development of this report that we have for you. And so I'm just going to briefly go through the elements of the report, and then we're going to field the questions that you have of us. So this report really has two phases to it. The first stage of the reporting information came from the last year's study about how we're implementing Reading Recovery district-wide. And so there was a group of administrators as well as teacher leaders that came together, and we developed a guide for principals, which we thought we wouldn't provide for you, although it's filled with information about how to use Reading Recovery so that we have more fidelity as we work district-wide. What are principals' responsibilities in a program like this? How are we going to allocate? What are some fundamental parts of the program? How are we going to centrally hire staff and try to pull some of that together? And so principals were presented with this last spring. So that's the first phase. The second phase is the report that you have here, which is broken up into three different components. The first is a literature review that we did. It was a national search of literature. And then the second part talks about the MMSD program itself and what our data analysis looks like. The third is a recommendation piece, and then there's appendices that discuss some of the tables, and then it also has the matrix for the comprehensive literacy program that forms core practices tier 1, 2, and 3 within the district. And so when I look at the literature review, as you could see, the summary that we had put together is that basically, there are mixed reviews about Reading Recovery Program across the nation, and that information is clear. And when we look at the literature review, we also understand that for our district, the strength really is around the professional development that we see happening within schools because of the teacher leaders and because of the Reading Recovery teachers within the programs and within the schools that really do have an impact on a lot of staff as well as students. So the review is clearly mixed. We summarize that in stating that. We also, in this review packet, have a matrix in front of you, which I'm going to share with you in just a little bit. But basically, the matrix tried to summarize for you, and it's the second sheet in. We tried to take the components in the recommendations and put them into three simple categories after looking at the literature review. The first category is looking at reading recovery in its current model. That's one option out there, that to leave reading recovery as it currently is in the 23 schools while implementing fidelity stages that we had learned through this entire report process and the development of best practices. The second option that's in there for you is to redistribute reading recovery teachers to the full implementation model, meaning that in some of our schools, we try to serve the lowest 20% of students, but we can't get to all of the students because we don't have enough teacher FTE time to do that. And so this model would not only put in the fidelity, but also the recommendations on page 39, which talk about the comprehensive literacy program. It would also put that piece into this component by redistributing reading recovery allocations to less schools to serve 100% of the students, and then putting fidelity criteria, which are listed there in the strengths and recommendations, as a part of that. What we would use in this tier two model, or even in the option two model, as well as with the option one, is that we already know that we can better identify students based on the review of our MMSD analysis, and so we would target students specifically based on how we could move that information to better fit the fidelity of implementation. And Tim will talk a little bit about this in just a few minutes. Then the third allocation or option is looking at the allocations and leaving them in the current 23 schools, however, going to a comprehensive literacy model by identifying what interventions could happen in tier 1, 2, and 3, and then looking at small group instruction and supporting teachers in that matter through professional development and working through our IRTs. So those are the three options that we've posed in front of you, and I will come back to those once Tim finishes, just kind of giving a brief overview of key findings in the data analysis section.
So my name is Tim Potter. I work in research and evaluation, and I was asked to do this data piece of this analysis. So I'm actually just starting on page 9. I'm not just going to read, because I'm sure everybody knows how to read. I basically reviewed the discontinuation rates, which is kind of like a success rate, and those are pretty clear. That's how Reading Recovery records their success, and we have been a little bit lower than the national average for the past several years. I then did a regression analysis, which really looked at trying to control for all the factors that might influence how well a student reads at the end of first grade, and starting with how they did at the end of kindergarten. And it was difficult to find, combining all the students, a significant impact. But if you did break it out by rounds, there was significant impacts in 2008 and 2009. I do observe that reading recovery does serve these are needy students. These are students who are reading very, at very low levels and have many demographic factors that put them at risk. But they are only serving about 13% of the first grade students, so we can't district wide achieve 20%. And I guess the other part that Sue mentioned was after doing this analysis, we already do some predictive modeling to identify students who are at risk for reading failure at the end of first grade. And so one suggestion was that we could use these models that we develop at the beginning of first grade using data that we have from kindergarten to maybe better identify students who might benefit from getting this service. There are students who do receive reading recovery who seem to have fairly high levels. That's partially due to the fact the way we implement it, because at a certain school there may not be all the students may not be the lowest readers, so they have to take another student, and so they take a student who's reading higher, which I think is how Sue explained it. And also, looking at over the 4 years that this study looked at, students who were successful at reading recovery, they were reading at grade level at the end of first grade, compared to the students who aren't, because about 58% of the students did not read at grade level by the end of first grade, even though they'd received reading recovery. And that is on page, they're like complicated looking tree diagrams, but I thought they were interesting because they certainly showed that certain students really struggle at getting discontinued from reading recovery based on, you know, if they don't know their letter ID or if they have a very low dictation test score. And so that might be helpful in helping to identify students who would be more likely to benefit from the program. So that's a pretty short summary of the data, and there's a lot of stuff there. If people have questions, I'm happy to try to explain.
We know there will be many questions based on the data, but Tim did a great job of doing analysis of that data, so I thank him. And I want to just up front say that there was a lot of effort that went into this report. It's only 60 pages, but it started out much larger, and we tried to condense it as much as we could into making it meaningful. And hopefully this matrix wasn't too confusing, but it kind of puts it into perspective. So the question at the end of the analysis is, where do we go from here? If not reading recovery, then what is always a question that we've been asking over the last several months. And when we looked at the integrity of implementation and when we looked at how we chose our students in the past and now what we know differently, based on this information, we recommend option number two because with this we also want to create a comprehensive literacy program that goes around with it. It was clear from Tim's table, he talked about the tree diagrams, that we already know children that shouldn't be served in reading recovery. We know that there are about 7% of the students that are in reading recovery right now that don't make the gains because they don't have that letter ID background. And so if we target knowing where these children are up front, we target interventions toward these children and get them in a state of readiness in kindergarten or first semester for first grade, and then second semester when we do round two, these children will be at a state of readiness to be able to begin taking advantage of the reading recovery strategies. So that's the first piece. The second piece is there's about 5% of our students identified here that probably could have done well in reading without reading recovery based on the analysis that Tim had done. And so with that, we know that the reason is because of the implementation. So there are some schools that have less diverse groups of children within that 20%. And so when we have low income as a factor as a school, based on choice, if there's a school with 28% free and reduced income and we take the lowest 20%, some of those students probably aren't our neediest 20% within the district. And so some of these children within the lowest 20% of that school may have made it without reading recovery, but they happen to be within that 20% range in that school, which is why they were given the services. So knowing those two pieces, we could target students in kindergarten and then do assessments of children when they come in first grade right away who are new to our district to find out where these children are and make specific recommendations of serving the various students. And then we also know that the integrity of the program, and you have the information about teacher and student success rate that's in there. We know that we have a lot of work to address that area also. But we also know that there's very many excellent components of the reading recovery program that we have used over the years. Our primary language arts assessment is really based on the work of Mari Clay in reading recovery. Our teachers are very familiar with how to implement the play. It's been in existence for over 13 years. We know the strengths of the professional development, which I just spoke about a little bit earlier, but we also know that we have to support children before reading recovery, and we have to support children after reading recovery based on the review of literature that's out there. And so we know that that's a piece that we really have to focus and pay attention to as we begin to look at next steps if we go with this option. One of the reviews of the literature just focus on the different populations being served as kind of the whole mixed reviews. We have a lot of teachers that are trained. We have to look at teacher fidelity. We know that that's something that we'll be looking at, but we also know that we have a really good base. And again, we come to, if not reading recovery, then what? So the recommendation of administration is to recommend option number two while looking at page 39 of the recommendations and adding the comprehensive literacy program to support reading recovery so that once our kids are in programs, we know that they're ready, and when they exit, we know they're going to have continued support to help them continue to be successful readers. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to the superintendent.
Just very briefly, along with that commitment in ensuring that we modify the program in the way that we're suggesting it be modified, coupled with those recommendations as well as working to ensure that we are targeting our lowest 20% and meeting that gap between where we are, there's an ongoing commitment to evaluate this program, mm-hmm. and that we will continue to collect information, because I believe that these recommendations can get us to a better place, but if they don't get us to a better place with results, then I think we have to look at other options. But I'm advising that we take it in that sequence, work to make this program better, and then if we see the results, there'll be, I guess, reasons to celebrate. And then if not, we'll have to look at those other options that are in the report, or at least one option, I should say.
Did anyone else want to make a comment? No? Okay. So I'll open it up for questions. It's a big report, so why don't we do Ms. Maslin, Passman, Mathiak, and then Silvera.
If we were to go with option two, the full implementation, but there was a student or a group of students that was within the lowest 20% and could benefit from reading recovery but wasn't at a school that had the program or a school with a reading recovery FTE, what would happen in that situation?
We would use the comprehensive literacy program, looking at interventions that are available if it's a Title I school, to intervene through Title I services, or to offer small group instruction, which is in that there's a comprehensive literacy attachment at the end of your packet. I think it's one of the last pages, and offer interventions there. Another model that we could discuss which schools and how we define students that are chosen for this program, so it could even be larger than that.
Ms. Passman?
I've got a series of questions, and I would love the people who were intimately involved in reading recovery if they could help answer some of these questions. Why is the program working so well in some schools and not working as well in other schools? I'm quoting Leopold, and the Midvale staff and the past Sandberg and Lowell have done extremely well.
I think that's probably a complicated question, but I think it has to do with a range of supports that supports the effective implementation. In the schools that you're mentioning, they would be fully implemented schools, even though district allocations don't always fully implement schools. There are administrators who have had title allocations that they've committed to extra reading recovery teachers so that they could have full implementation. There are also schools that are working on providing a broader range of supports for their students in kindergarten interventions, and providing interventions, small group interventions in first grade and on in second grade as well. We find in those schools there's a high level of collaboration between reading recovery teachers, classroom teachers, a lot of work together with them. And often we find that the instructional resource teacher in that school is a reading recovery trained teacher. Reading recovery is very closely aligned with our balanced literacy curriculum. And so where there is this good collaboration and alignment, we find our best results.
Yeah, that's a good segue, because the next question I was going to ask is, what does full implementation mean? And if you can tell us that, mm-hmm. and can you assure us that in these schools we're now going into, we will have mm-hmm. this so-called full implementation, then we have a chance of seeing how successful it can be. Mm-hmm. Okay, please, I'm sorry.
Full implementation is roughly calculated as the lowest 20% of a first grade cohort. Mm-hmm. We know that in some schools that have high levels of at-risk children, that might be slightly larger. And in some schools, it's a slightly smaller number.
So that's the full implementation?
Full implementation means that there will be a reading recovery teacher with an available teaching slot for every child who's struggling in early literacy in first grade.
And in addition to that, support for the children after they leave? Mm-hmm. What form does that take?
Certainly trying to make sure that we monitor that there's continued success in reading, and that if, for example, as the child gets to second grade, there's some summer loss, that perhaps there's a booster group for that child to get up and going in second grade. Also that there are supports in kindergarten to make sure that children are having difficulty accessing the very earliest stages of literacy in kindergarten, get up and going in kindergarten too, okay. So they're ready for first grade instruction.
All right. Now, what about integrity of a program? We've talked about implementation. Now, what does an integrity mean? That's also a term that's been used. What does integrity of the program mean? I don't care who answers it.
I would say the integrity of the program is that there are standards and guidelines for reading recovery. Things like a specific training program to support the development of the kinds of knowledge and understanding that teachers would need to be able to work successfully with the lowest functioning children. There are continuing professional development sessions that must occur so that we can maintain our teaching edge and make sure that we're incorporating the latest research and understandings. There are standards and guidelines for choosing teachers to be trained. There are, what am I forgetting?
I'm getting the idea.
Okay. And then the monitoring of the teacher through the teacher leadership and behind the Glendale door we go regularly. So the monitoring piece.
Okay.
Right.
About how long does it take a reading resource teacher to really know her job? And I know always takes teachers. Every year we learn something new. But I mean, in general, to see you've got a handle on this and you know how to approach a child in reading. How many years of training and?
Well, we hope that they get a good handle during that first training year. Okay. We meet every week with teachers. They take a 6-credit university course that meets throughout the year. But it is definitely learning on the job because as they take this course in the evening, they're also required to start working with 4 students every day. That's often that learning year, we often see a real change between that learning year and the next year in terms of outcomes because it's a lot to learn at once. Probably by the second or third year, we're beginning to see people really become very effective.
I have more questions, so if the board wants to ask more, I'll come back later. So thank you.
Okay, why don't we do that? Ms. Masiak, followed by Ms. Silvera, followed by Mr. Hughes.
I actually would like to propose flipping order with Ms. Silvera because she wants to ask a question that I'd like to know the answer to.
Actually, I have a couple of questions that took off on some of the questions of Ms. I was also going to ask about the full implementation. So if the full implementation, my understanding then, is that to provide reading recovery to the lowest 20% of the students across the district, how many schools? I mean, right now it's in 23 schools, so what happened? How many does it go down to? 5?
Well, we would have to look at the specific student data to determine how many per school.
The program is only 20% at a school, the lowest 20% at a school. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. As it's implemented right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's several ways this could be done. I tried to answer it this morning in the email, but I'm sorry. I didn't quite get there. We could take the resources and put them in the schools that have the highest percentage of free and reduced lunch, knowing that we may end up with the 20%, or we could allocate centrally and say, making sure that we meet a range of more schools by looking at the lowest 20% in the district, clarifying that we need at least 5 kids in a school in order to make it feasible for a person to come out X amount of times, because this is a program that has to meet every day. It has to meet every single day. So there's a variety of ways in which we can look at that, which was why we didn't put those scenarios together, because it really depends on some of the critical questions we have to ask. Do we want these to be central office positions? Do we want them to be school positions? Do we want to look across the entire district, or just as the highest schools with the largest number of free and reduced lunch income? And so those, and then the other question is, a school like Nuestro Mundo, who currently isn't receiving reading recovery, do we want to offer reading recovery in Spanish, because that has been talked about, and what does that look like? So we can go in many different directions, and we wanted to get a feel for where we were going, directionality with the board, before we pull those analysis together to bring back.
Okay, I just have a couple more questions. In the,
yes.
Under strength, says that option two is more cost effective.
That's
than
correct.
Option one. How is that?
We, because of the fidelity and the 100% implementation and targeting the students, well, we would target the students in option number one now too. We would probably, it would be more cost effective, because the assumption is that we're going to be exiting more students. That's the goal, is to exit more students. And right now we're not exiting as many students as we want, and so it's more costly per child that gets exited through the program. So it's going to be the same amount, because reading recovery, the allocations will be the allocations, but will be more effective, which means that the cost of exiting a child becomes less, because we're exiting more children with the same resources.
And maybe I'm looking at this backwards. What I don't understand is how you're going to exit more children, because if you're going to, so tell me if I'm flipped here. So if you're going to schools, if you're going to be targeting the 20% lowest population, then inherently I think that those children will be more challenged. That now you'd be exiting or discontinuing more kids if they're higher than the lowest 20%. So I'm not understanding how this full implementation, I guess, would discontinue more kids. Does that make sense? Or does my question make sense, maybe?
At this point, we're only working with probably the lowest 13% of the population. So if we look at the kids who are struggling the most, in that range of the 0 to 20% of the lowest students, we're probably dealing with the really, really difficult kids, as opposed to a range of kids who are all struggling and who could all benefit from the program, but we don't have enough services to provide for them.
So I was, okay, my assumption was that we're going to, say today, we're working with, 260 kids, something like that. And if we went to option two, it would still be 260 kids. So it's the same number.
But it's possible that it might have more of an impact in each particular building and site. For example, at a very large school like Kennedy or Chavez, where the only intervention is one reading recovery teacher working with eight students, and there's 120 first graders, the impact on that cohort of children is rather small. There are still many classrooms with lots of kids who could benefit from that who aren't able to access that.
Okay. I'm not sure I totally understand, but I'll listen to more of the discussion and maybe it will click in. And then I have another one more question. Is the schools that will no longer have reading recovery, and Sue had basically, you said in an email, I think it will be the Title I services, if they have Title I, and mm-hmm. if they don't have Title I. Are we ready for this? I mean, is there, if a school next year says, okay, no more reading recovery, what has to happen in those schools resource-wise mm-hmm. to provide service to these other kids? Or do they just mix into what's, are additional resources going to be needed in the other schools, I guess is my main question.
Well,
we're certainly looking at the taking the best of the research that we know from the instructional practices and reading recovery and infusing that into the professional development as we're developing these wraparound services for the professional development with our instructional resource teachers, the professional development for advocacy and teachers who are interested in using these strategies in their classroom, in their own literacy instruction, so that we're developing a wider base of teachers who are able to use these very, very effective practices in their classroom and developing, as Mary Ellen stated, that collaboration among the teachers and the instructional resource teachers and the reading recovery expertise to extend these services to a broader range of students through the instructional resource teachers, professional development, and into small group instruction as well.
So we will not be adding allocation to additional schools. Instead, we're going to restructure how support is given to students that are no longer going to be having, or to schools that are no longer going to have reading recovery available to them, which serves about 8 students currently in some of those schools, 8 to 10.
So would there be, do you view pull-out intervention? Is that the Title I step?
Title I is typically either in the classroom serving as an intervention or pulling the children out in small group instruction. And we won't have Title I services in all of the schools if we go to the model where we're just serving certain schools. So this will have to be the responsibility of the school to work in teams with teachers to provide additional support of double-dosing children that currently are not getting that in other schools or that are having reading recovery services right now, which kind of is like that double dose of intervention as well as then the classroom balanced literacy program. So there will have to be some thought and plan, and we had talked about that, Mary Jo and I and Lisa had talked about then what kind of supports do we need to put together in these schools, and we talked about looking at some of the components that Lisa was talking about and working with those schools to figure out best ways to support the schools if this reading recovery allocation no longer exists within that building.
So the decision really is bigger than reading recovery.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
If we voted tonight, which we're not, and said, okay, we're going to option two, I mean, we're voting... We're being asked to vote on something that's much more comprehensive in reading in elementary school,
yes, correct,
than just the reading recovery aspects of the program. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all. I'll be back.
Ms. Mathak, followed by Mr. Hughes.
Okay, moving right along. I'm trying to make sure I understand before I get to the actual questions I plan to ask. If I am understanding correctly that what we're talking about, you would have said, well, you know, if reading recovery doesn't work out, then what? But it sounds like the model we're looking at is only reading recovery. You're talking about expanding reading recovery methodology to Title I, right?
We're also talking about putting together a comprehensive literacy program that's more in depth than what we currently have in place.
What does that mean?
One of the things that we've been working on for the past couple of years is the student intervention monitoring system for the district. And within that system, people who were reading recovery trained, as well as other literacy experts in the district, have loaded or put interventions into the system and progress monitoring tools into the system that teachers and other literacy workers in the buildings can access and implement within their classrooms.
But these are still reading recovery strategies. This is not, for example, I guess my question is why are you telling me that there is no other reading intervention other than reading recovery, that there's no other literature that would point to other strategies or models of learning reading that we might also explore? Why are we so invested in this one model?
One of the one of the things that we need to consider when we look at tier two interventions anyway is that the research suggests that if your tier two interventions connect well with what's happening in the classroom, they're more likely to be effective. So we need to have interventions that connect well with what's already going on so that the students can take what they're learning in their intervention and have it be effective with what they're doing in the classroom. So we need our tier two interventions to be closely connected to what's going on in the classroom in order for them to be effective. But we have loaded or added other interventions into the student intervention monitoring system as well that are not necessarily as directly connected to the balanced literacy model.
So if I understand correctly, reading recovery really doesn't correlate very highly with the National Reading Panel recommendations from 2000 or the subsequent body of literature on phonology or phonemes or other types of reading, emerging reading activities. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I'm not used to this. Reading recovery actually goes very well with what the panel had found. The panel talked about different aspects of literacy being important, including things like phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, comprehension. And in all those areas, reading recovery provides a comprehensive support for.
How much of reading recovery time is devoted to phonics or phonemic awareness or how much time? Just approximately ballpark.
It's difficult to give you an exact time because it's all through the lesson. We have a particular period of time for letter identification or working with. Let me back up a bit. The hard thing for children learning to read is how to link what their sound sequences of speech to the print sequences. And so they have to do a number of things to be able to do that. They have to be able to discriminate letters one from another, know what's important features, and they have to be able to know how print works, that it's left to right, etc. And they also have to know how the sounds of the language break, how the talk of the language breaks into sounds, whether it's larger units like syllables, whether it's small phonemes. Not only do they need to be able to do this, but they need to be able to use this knowledge. So we work both with being able to identify letters, and we have a letter identification portion of the lesson. We have personalized alphabet books that we make for children, because often they'll look at an alphabet chart, and they'll see G, and they'll see something next to it that looks like a present. And so that doesn't help them if they're thinking present and they're seeing a G there. So what we do is make sure that the associations they have developed with the letters are ones that are helpful so that they can begin to use this in their writing and in their reading. They also have a period of time where they do word work. And during the word work, they learn how letters make up words, and they learn about the left to right and what's the first letter, what's a word. And they learn also how the sound sequences map onto those letters, how words break, how there's onsets and rhymes, how there's morphological endings like ing or er. They also, in writing, learn to develop great phonemic awareness. We use a technique called Elkanen boxes, where children learn to articulate words slowly and learn to discriminate the sounds within a word, and learn that discrimination over time of sounds, how that maps spatially left to right on a page. Of course, this is an arbitrary convention, but that's something you need to learn when you're learning to read. So within the writing portion of the lesson, that's what they're learning, and they're working very hard at learning how to discriminate sounds and how to record them in letters. During reading, they learn to use all this knowledge. They learn how to not only do they have to discriminate letters, they have to know how letters can help them solve words. And so we work a lot on how you bring not only your knowledge of the world and your knowledge of language when you read, but you also have to bring your knowledge of the symbol system and how that relates to the system of speech.
I'm not sure that answered my question, but let's move on, because I guess what I had hoped for in this report, and I was a little puzzled by the methodology. I knew we were getting some sort of report, and what I had hoped to see was something that, first of all, used the value-added tools that we've been hearing so much about. And I guess I didn't find it helpful to know how our reading recovery students compare to other national reading recovery students. What I really want to know is, but again, you know, I guess if our language instruction and our reading instruction really is based in reading recovery and there are no other interventions, then that is the model, which I really think there ought to be a more robust discussion about. But it just seems to me that there are other models out there, and so what I had hoped to see was how reading recovery compares to other interventions in terms of cost, in terms of prolonged success over time as measured by WKCE scores and other common tests, because as flawed as they are, they're the ones that our kids do have to pass. They're the ones that we are evaluated on. I thought it was odd that we have school one through whatever when, in fact, when we get our WKCE scores and we had the value-added demonstrations, you tell us what the schools are. I mean, this is bizarre.
And some of this is value-added. I mean, a regression analysis, the growth is really a value-added measure.
But how do they compare to other kids?
Yeah, we don't. Unfortunately, we don't have measures. I don't know if we, in our database, we actually record every intervention that's made. So I don't. It's hard to find something to compare it to.
Well, how do they compare to their peers?
Well, that's what this says, basically. That's what the regression says. It compares them to their peers. And
It's just not a very, I mean, it's a start, but again, it's not a terribly satisfying report, I must say. I guess I would be interested to see how reading recovery compares in terms of effectiveness, in terms of cost. I don't believe that other methods of teaching reading require membership payments and other things to a national organization in the way that reading recovery does. I don't believe it has the body of literature that is not affiliated with the National Reading Recovery Council or its affiliated organizations, which bothers me because that's not neutral research. So I guess, you know, at this point, and especially because we're talking about focusing this on our most impoverished schools where the students can't afford to go to Sylvan and the Reading Center and hire private tutors as they do in our more affluent schools, I'm not prepared to vote to do anything because I don't see the information that would help me make my decisions. It's a good start, but I guess I was puzzled and disappointed that there's a lot of just descriptive stuff. When we talk about balanced literacy, it never occurred to me that what we're really talking about is sort of a watered-down reading recovery because you don't have the one-on-one. I thought we were talking about something a little more robust that would embody a range of strategies. But if we can't do that because other strategies would not mirror what's done in the classroom, then I'm not sure I have anything more to add.
Okay, we have Mr. Hughes followed by Ms. Passman, Moss, and Winston.
Thanks. I appreciate you preparing the report. I thought there was a lot in it, and I found it helpful. And I think it's a good step. And I think we, you know, it's part of the strategic plan that we need to really evaluate our programs this way. But that's the first step. I think the second step is once we evaluate them, we have to act on what the evaluation tells us. And when I read this evaluation, and what I see is that, you know, for 2 years ago, we couldn't see any statistically significant difference in the students who got reading recovery. And in the most recent year, it was, what, 0.8 of one reading level above people who didn't. And the interventions are about $5,600 per student. That didn't seem to me to be a terrific recommendation for the program. And, you know, but I don't have any background in curriculum development or what the alternatives are, so I can't really do much with that except say that, it didn't seem to me to be, as I say, a great thing. I don't know what the alternatives are, but, speaking of alternatives, I know there was mention in the report of LAPM, and LAPM, I know since Barbara Thompson days, has gone its own way with respect to direct instruction. But when I look at their WKCE's test scores, they're really good. I mean, for economically disadvantaged students, they're well above the district average. So the question I have is, why aren't we looking at what they do there and see if we can replicate that? And it seems like, you know, we're so invested in the reading recovery approach that I don't know what kind of results would have caused us to say this isn't working, let's try something else. You know, so those are the kinds of things I'm dealing with. You know, I see that there are some, it seems like there's something else that's going on in the district that seems to be working well. Is that something we can replicate, or are we just sort of wedded to this particular approach such that we're going to keep with it, and whenever the results are bad, we're going to say, well, we're just not doing it well enough. We're going to double down on it, which, you know, it seems hard to, for someone who's just reading the report and going on what's in the papers and what the results seem to be statistically, it's not particularly persuasive. So that's really not a question. It's more a speech, I guess. But if anyone has any sort of – I would be interested in hearing what your reaction is about the LAPM situation. Is that – I mean, is there something going on there that's worth looking at more, or is that just an anomaly?
I'll speak to that, and then I want Tim just a little bit to speak to the value added, because we talked about that a little bit earlier with the Marquette LAPM information. But we do use direct instruction across the district in certain schools, most typically in special education. LAPM is the exception to that, and I believe Marquette also uses parts of but that not through a reading recovery allocation, but through some classroom teacher support. And they the principals there said that it's a mixed usage in the building. Some teachers are really using balanced literacy, and others are specifically using direct instruction. And so it's a mix. And is there value to look at that? Absolutely, certainly value to look at that.
But I don't see that we're actually doing that.
We haven't evaluated their program because it's in pockets within the building. It's not universal. So what we would have to do is pull out the teachers who are using balanced literacy from the teachers who are doing direct instruction and doing an analysis on the building specifically and looking at those children and then doing some match sampling with other students across the district. It can be done.
My understanding of what's happening at LAPM is that many of the teachers who are using some of the methods that are part of the DI program are also using many of the components of balanced literacy in their classrooms as well. So it's kind of a mixed model versus a pure balanced literacy or pure direct instruction model.
Well, does that suggest that maybe a mixed model would be better?
Ms. Mathiak had a question in regards to Mr.
Hughes. Yeah, I guess that when I talk about the value added, it seemed to me that was one of the things you could find out, because you could, in fact, track the progress of individual students. Isn't that why we've been told it's the best thing since, like,
we don't have the standardized test until third grade.
Okay, so
there's a first grade intervention. I don't have a pre-score that's comparable to the WKCE. I have this text reading level, and that basically this analysis is a value added. It's just comparing their text reading level at the end of kindergarten to their text reading level at the end of first grade.
Right, but we can't take that information and do this sort of comparison that Ed was talking about in terms of LAPM and...
Right, in effect, this comparison group is the kids who did not get reading recovery. I mean, that's who they're being compared to. They're being compared to similar students who did not get reading recovery, I guess.
Right, but did they get other interventions?
They must have, yeah. At Lapham, we know they got direct instruction.
Well, that's the point. I mean, you have a group that you know got something else. I'm taking it that direct instruction is a code name for something that's more aligned with the National Reading Panel, not, you know, I mean, it's one of those education-y terms. But I guess, you know, what I'm saying is that you have a group that you can clearly identify that has a clear alternative program to reading recovery. We know how they're doing. So is there not a possibility to ask some of the questions that Mr. Hughes was suggesting? Because it that's what I was trying to get at. There are other models, and what do we know about how these stack up and what works? And
Ms. Passman, you had a comment?
There have been international studies on reading recovery, and they've always astounded the people who've read them. I believe the Educational Research Council came out with a study a couple of years ago on reading recovery that said it far exceeded direct instruction in all respects. So there is literature out there. My problem with...
We'll talk about the funding sources later.
Well, okay, that's something else. The funding source in our district is Title I, and I want to know why we're not using more Title I to help this program. So that's another story. All right, so let's go on now with other things. It seems to me that if you went into the average classroom today in kindergarten, it would be extremely different than the classroom you saw in the late 1980s when reading recovery began. This is very clear. And the reason for it is that we have more needy children. Our bottom 20% today, wasn't even in our district in the late 1980s and early 1990s. So we have an increasing intense need from kids. And it seems to me that's the area we have to cover and cover completely rather than abandoning it and doing other things with it. These children who have never seen a book, forget about a letter, forget about a sound, now have to be dealt with when in the past reading recovery dealt with kids and they knew their letters but didn't know the sounds. Or maybe knew the sounds and couldn't put them together into a word. So the whole process has been made much more complicated, much more intense for the reading recovery teacher. And I think they have kept up with that. They have added phonics. They have added this. They have a more well-rounded program than they have ever had before. Why do teachers like this program so much when an experienced teacher is involved with it? It's because it helps the classroom teacher. It does not increase the burden for the classroom teacher anymore by filling them with more professional development without bringing another body in to say, we're going to help you with this child. You need help with this child. And then you can deal with the other children in the school, in your classroom, and you can deal with this child a little bit less and this child a little bit less. We have the best people doing the best thing for them. You heard these people talk. They're the intellectuals of the reading program in our district. They're the best we have to offer right now. And we need to support them completely and totally. And when I talk about full implementation, that means to me the same thing that's working in Midvale, what's working in Leopold, what worked in Sandburg, let's take that success story and let's make it work in all the other schools. Frankly, I'd like to see it in every school, not just. If we had the money, I'd say go back and fully implement it in the way the successful schools are working. And then you will see some outstanding results. But pulling away a Title I money here and pulling away Title I resources there and giving up on small groups with kids and using, and I know all our principals are desperate because they all need people to help children, but we've taken this program, we've diluted it, and now we're attacking it for not being successful. And my problem here is we have a successful program. Let's make it work. That's what I want to say for now.
Okay, if the audience could hold it. Beth Moss, followed by Mr. Winston.
Okay. Well, my questions are a little bit on a different track. So I guess if anyone wants to continue on. Yeah, I have several kind of different questions. The first one, when you're talking about reading recovery mirroring what's in the classroom, are you talking about aligning with the curriculum or more aligning with the teaching, the pedagogy?
It's both. Certainly the same theoretical beliefs about reading and writing and learning literacy being about constructing meaning, being about being thoughtful. In addition to the phonics kinds of things, all of the comprehension strategies that are talked about in classrooms are a strong part of what we do in reading recovery. We teach kids to think about what they're doing as they read, to monitor and to self-correct, and to be able to confirm or disconfirm that they're getting things right, that they have a flexible range of ways to problem solve words, that they know how to search for information that can help them make connections to the text, to other texts, to their lives. So all of those comprehension kinds of things that are a very big part of our understanding of not just teaching a child to read, but to become a reader, a thoughtful reader. That's what we focus on as we work with children who are initially puzzled about how to get up and going.
Okay. And if a child has splinter skills, say their word ID is really good, their comprehension is not, their predicting is not, their fluency is really good, how does reading recovery help those children? I mean, is it just a program that you just sit down and you go from one to a sequence, or can you break it up? And I'm thinking along the lines of the individual learning plan that we're looking at for the under the strategic plan, and how individualized is this program? Because to me, that would be very, very important for us to have. Programs, you know, we're talking about using other types, DI or other programs, but that to me is the most important thing, is to meet each child's needs where they are.
So. And that's exactly what we do, because we have a one-on-one teaching situation. We do a very thorough assessment of the child. We look at the child's strengths and the child's needs. We build a program completely uniquely around the unique needs of each individual student.
Okay.
If I could add something. Reading recovery is different from a packaged commercial program, because really what it is a lot of staff development. It's really about developing the expertise of a teacher so that you're able to make good decisions, so that you're able to work at the edge of a child's ability to push them forward. And in saying that, what we learn as reading recovery teachers is similar to what a researcher learns. You learn how to observe. You learn a theoretical basis of how children learn to read. You learn about how to watch your own interactions with a child. That's what our behind the glass is all about, so that you realize when you are doing something that isn't helpful, you have to change tact. And that's the kind of thing that we learn to be, is to be self-critical as well as to be observant of the child's, so that we monitor our own teaching to make sure that we are moving the child forward.
Okay, so do you feel like the group of children that you've had possibly over the past 3 years have been starting at a lower level, which would mean that they wouldn't be able to exit discontinue the program? I mean, is that possibly affecting the data that we're getting?
Yes, we can see that there are lower entry scores. It's not really about the kids so much as about the system. We used to have some more interventions that would happen earlier in a child's schooling. Rock and Read program exists in some schools still, but there isn't the training for the Rock and Read teachers that there used to be. It used to be a very systematic and very monitored program with particular elements that would be used, so that the teaching of the child wasn't just reading a book and having them sit on your lap or something. It was a very carefully thought out program. But we don't have the training for that anymore. And so we're seeing, this is a hypothesis on my part, but when we see schools that do still have that, like Midvale, we do see a difference in the scores of the children coming in to first grade.
Because I think that would be interesting to see, and I know that you've done this report. It seems very thorough to me, but I am very interested in knowing, like Marge said, what about the kids who are coming in and starting and have never seen a book? And what are we doing for those kids? And is Reading Recovery the program for them? Does it start too late in their reading life? I mean, does it go back far enough? And my other comment is that if we're going to be starting with 4K up with the possibility of next year, that's also going to skew our data on reading recovery, we hope. I mean, we really genuinely hope it will, because we hope that more of the kids will be doing better. So I guess, Tim, is that something that how will we be able to tell this?
How they'll be coming in better, and also help identify students who really need the intervention, because right now they don't have we don't have as much information at the beginning of first grade.
Okay.
If you had a four-year-old experience, I assume that would mean longer schooling, more time in school.
Right. And would you be able to take that section that out so that we could see if if we do decide to go with Model 2, if this is more successful in spite of, even if 4K were not there?
Right. And actually there is on page 15, I looked at how students compare in the past 4 years to see if there were significant changes in the population in reading recovery.
Okay.
Table 3 kind of looks at the different scores they had over mm-hmm. the past 4 years.
Right. Right, and my question is that we would hope that
we would see higher scores.
But is that because of 4K or is that because of reading recovery change?
Well, you might see lower scores because it would be, you'd identify, the students would have more information about them. Like right now, you might identify kids who don't really need it. You don't really know until, it's easier to identify if you have more information about each child, if there's more variations mm-hmm. in how they scored. Because there's students, I think Mary Ellen said, there's students that might look okay, but by second round, they've actually fallen behind. So now you would think the second round information would really be present earlier because they've had more schooling.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More time to monitor progress.
Right,
and
see
if they're responding to.
Okay. Okay. So you, I assume that you all would be mindful of that. And I just wanted to make that comment. Okay. Well, I have a lot of other questions, but they're just very specific, so I'd rather just email them, I guess, for next week, if that's all right.
Mr. Winston, sorry, followed by Ms. Silvera.
Just a quick question and then maybe a statement, but do we do reading recovery in the summertime?
No, we do not.
Is that a monetary issue, or is that, to me it would seem like if we're really trying to target struggling readers and kids who are not performing, that we would have some sort of interventions for them in the summertime or something.
The research on the program shows an effect between a 12 and 20-week period, so we have a much shorter time over the summer. But whether or not some sort of modification of or continuation for those children where we run out of time at the end of the school year and they probably only needed 2 or 3 weeks more, that's certainly something to think about.
Okay. I guess my next statement is more to the superintendent and not to the staff. I think this is maybe first out of many hard discussions that, unfortunately, I think the district has to have about how we do business and how that's related to student achievement. Because when I look at the data and I go through the information, this is the achievement gap right here. This is where we start, kindergarten and the first grade. It starts here. And, to me, we've had, unfortunately, had these type of discussions a lot, and it's usually centered around money. Because people don't, they don't want us to do this program because it's too expensive, And I guess sometimes when I think about it, some programs you just need to do, period, because they are for the kids in this district. Because if you can't read, a lot of bad things, I think, happen, unfortunately. I guess since this is on the agenda for a discussion topic, I don't know if you had thought about...
It's an action item.
Yeah. It's an action, absolutely. You want some action. Is this an opportunity now for the district to look as a whole how we provide our reading program for our students? Just in terms of the whole reading program, not just reading recovery, not just some of the other interventions that the staff have talked about, but to me it would seem like this would be the prime opportunity to do that. And I understand the budget issue is going to come up, but more than the budget, I mean, we've seen the data. We've seen what we do as a district, and we've seen the data as it relates to the achievement gap. And to me, this would call for looking at entirely how we do our reading program. Not even from a staff perspective, but from a scheduling perspective. To me, that's what this report that just talks about reading recovery, but there's more to it, and I think Ms. Olvera had talked about that before. And I would like to see something like that happen, whether that's a group of professionals in our district, which they all are, getting together and really talking about how we're going to provide our reading instruction. I want to say to Ms. Passman, again, I know that as a former teacher, how passionate you are, and I want to commend your words, because I do think that we do need to be supporting our district, and I want you to know I do support our district 100%. But I do think this is the time to really look at what we do and change some things that maybe need to be changed, not just with reading recovery, but other facets of our reading program. I hope that we don't get into the reading wars that were happening several years ago, but I do believe that this is the opportune time for the district to look at how we do business with reading. Because, again, if you can't read, you can't do a whole lot of other things in life. And when we do look at the data, it does show that we need to do something. We need to do something here. So I guess I would hope that we would take this opportunity to do those things. I guess I'll wait for how other of our colleagues respond to the action item, but I personally feel like there needs to be more to this than just this action item. So I would be prepared to talk more about it, whether that's in a committee form or whether that's in a special workshop form. However it is, I just feel like it needs some more vetting, and it probably needs more vetting more on the staff side at this point than I feel like on the board side. I see the data, but they're the ones that do it every day and do it every single day with the kids that really need probably the most help in the district, because they're going to be with us the longest. So that's my point. But I do want to thank the people for doing what they do. That is not lost upon me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. and thank you for the folks that are sitting out there. And I hope that my comments are not taken as a criticism of the district, but more as an opportunity to really do and showcase what we really need to have happen within this district so that all of our kids can achieve at a level that we want them to. Thank you.
Ms. Silvera?
Well, thank you, Mr. Winston. I was going to say something very similar. You made it somewhat easy. I will start off by thanking everyone as well for all that you do, people in the audience and everyone sitting at the table. I have had the opportunity to observe reading recovery behind the glass lessons at one of your professional developments a couple of years ago, and it's always been impressive, you know, to see how your colleague, I can't remember who it was, worked with a student and was, you know, so flexible in one given lesson. I remember it very well. I think, you know, look at the report. I think reading recovery is not where we'd like it to be, and I think hence making a recommendation for another option. I guess I still struggle with how this full implementation model is going to make it better. It's just not connecting for me there. But even more, what has become clear to me tonight is that reading recovery is just a piece in the entire picture. And when I was going through this over the weekend, I have to say my primary focus was on reading recovery. And when you look at, I'm going to think about reading recovery, you can go in one direction. But now I have lots of questions about the balanced literacy and title and really how we are addressing the overall reading needs across our elementary level at this point in time and how it all fits together. I mean, I think it is probably not fair to look at reading recovery as an island or as an outlier individually, because I think we need to see the picture of all of our kids and how we are addressing all of their needs and how the pieces all fit together. To me, that is the probably the appropriate way to approach this, so we truly can be fair to you and what you do, but also to all of our students, and you know, that's the key, making sure that we have something in place that's adequately really meeting all of the needs of all of the different types of readers and languages and the like. And at this point in time, I don't feel comfortable that I have that idea of what that is or what that looks like. And so I echo Mr. Winston's comments on looking at the bigger picture. So I just wanted to state.
Superintendent, did you have a question or comment?
No, I don't. I have a comment, but I can wait till later.
Okay. I was going to call on myself and then Ms. Mastayak and Ms. Passman. No, I was trying to make sure. I think I got everyone. So a few comments, very similar to Ms. Silvera and Mr. Winston. I think in this discussion, I was focusing very much so on reading recovery. And, you know, and I may have the figures wrong, but, you know, I'm only focusing on a little over 200 kids, you know, so it's such a small piece. It's a very important piece. And the fact that we have staff that are this passionate is very important, because we need to have passion for all the kids. But things did get brought up through this, which is, for me, a question of getting a more defined idea of what our reading program is. Is it really based on balanced literacy? Does it pull in other things? And how are we allocating the resources? The anecdotal piece of it that keeps coming back to me in my mind around the table is just how unfair in some ways it is when you have that allocation that small allocation of a reading recovery teacher, and only 8 kids get served in an entire elementary school. That just drives me nuts, because it's just not enough. I also have questions about this tier 2 interventions and what we're talking about and why they have to match and what are they matching to. And that piece comes back from a personal standpoint in that I have a son who never learned how to read through district interventions, and we ended up going outside of the system and using a reading program, a private provider, and so having that larger discussion is important to me because I recognize that it was a toll on our family resources for 3 years, and he was never identified. He was never identified, and so I think part of that is having this kind of discussion occasionally within the larger system is important because it challenges all of us to think about our assumptions and what we're working toward. And he happened to be a kid that needed something very, very different that I haven't seen before. I also just want to say that I also am kind of confused on this full implementation. And finally, I think, and the superintendent gets tired of this, but that's an assumption on my part, not him saying that, which is that, you know, why weren't we doing this research before? Why weren't we looking at Lapham and going, what is it that they're doing, you know, and can we meet the needs of more kids? And I hope that's something that we can do, is that in the future we can look at this as an entire system beyond little allocations here and there, and that we can come up with something. Because one thing that has changed that we haven't talked about is the fact that we've changed our literacy model as far as, like, how many minutes kids get. They're getting even more minutes than we were giving them, correct? And so now we have 90 minutes of literacy instruction, and we have more needs coming in. And I just think that this is a very good time for us to look at what we can do for kids, and that if this is where our focus is going to be, which I think that's something that my sense is that's something that the board and the strategic plan is really working toward is reading. I mean, we've got to get the literacy. that's an area that this is important. It's worth the investment. It's just how can it be most effective, and can we put all the cards on the table kind of thing. So that's all I had. It's nothing brilliant. I'll just move from there. Ms. Mathiak followed by Ms. Passman.
Well, I'm going to start by thanking my colleagues at the table for the quality of the discussion and the questions that are being raised, because I can't think of many things that are more important than that issue of succeeding in teaching kids how to read and recognizing that kids don't all enter school with the same sets of skills. Some of my thoughts are anecdotal. The difference between my 22-month-old grandson, who knows the alphabet and can sing songs and speaks in sentences and is very sophisticated and loves to look at books and so forth, and the homeless child who came through a program that my church runs, who is over 2 years old and had no words at all. That's the gap, and it's about resources, and it's about money. It's not about whether or not a program is spending too much money. It's, are we spending our very scarce resources effectively and doing the most we can for the children who come in? Because the level of need is only going to go up, and the state budget is only going to be rougher on us in the future. And that's, you know, anecdotally, it does concern me, because I think you're not the only parent at this table who has accessed outside intervention when the district's interventions did not work. And that's a statement about class, and in this case, it's a statement about affluence and resources. Even though it was a sacrifice, the resources were there to sacrifice. We had roofs over our heads. We knew where dinner was coming from most of the time. So to me, it's really important, and I really thank Mr. Winston for framing it as a much larger issue, because it's not, I too am struggling with the issue of, so we do faithful implementation in these schools. What about the kids who don't fall within that? Is it 20 or 13%? I'm not even clear anymore. But what about the kids who really do need something more, and will they get it in their classroom? I'm not sure. Methodologically, I still am bothered by this study, which didn't answer some of the questions. Yeah, part of my concern, frankly, is that we do rely on the PLAA, and when I go back to the glossary from the TAG plan, it says that the PLAA is an assessment tool that measures six components of emergent literacy and was normed in order to support valid and reliable data gathering. It was developed by district literacy specialists based on reading recovery. So if we're using a model and a measure that's based on the model that we want to support, to me, that these kids are not going to be taking reading recovery tests when they go out into the real world, or they go to high school, or they want to take their SATs or ACTs or need to take the WKCE. I would find it helpful to also have measures that are not reliant on the theory and methods of reading recovery to test how these students are doing. That troubles me, because there is a whole body of literature that does not come out of schools of education that is developed by cognitive scientists and people who study communication and linguists and language acquisition specialists that really may not support the methods we're using. And it troubles me that when we are in a district that says that we're data-driven and we rely on the best available research, that we are actually willing to narrow our focus when it suits us to focus on the research that we agree with and ignore entire bodies of research that may contradict what we're trying to achieve here. When the stakes are not for me, it might be for people's resumes and careers, the stakes are not for me as a board member because my kids are out of the schools. They got theirs, they're gone. My grandson won't be going to Madison School, so that's not an issue. But the stakes for those kids in the schools where they have the highest needs and they come in with the least amount of preparation are incredibly high, because it's their lives we're talking about. And I do believe that in this case, we really owe it to ourselves to do due diligence and look at the comparisons we can make. And maybe it's some reading recovery and something else. Maybe it's reading recovery. Maybe it's something else. We don't know, but right now our focus in what we've been presented is reading recovery focused. Even and it's focused on a particularly small group of kids. This is part of the reason I was very excited about value added, because there are differences in what our schools implement and how they implement it. And I would like to know how all of this informs the results that we were given when we first started being told about value added and what students can and cannot do at different grade levels. To me, this is imperative, because this is the foundation. And if we don't get it right, we are doing bad things to the most vulnerable people in our schools.
I have Ms. Passman followed by Ms. Moss.
Relax, I'm going to be more temperate now. Calm down. Sorry, you're right. You're right. I do get carried away. We're here today to discuss reading recovery, but as my fellow board members have said, it has opened up Pandora's box to the whole discussion of reading. And as Ms. Mathiak said, it could be any number of different things that we end up with. But what's in front of us today is reading recovery and how we're going to make it work successfully. And the best part of an evaluation is that you see what's working and what's not working, and you build on what's working. And that's where I want us to go with reading recovery. Unless we take what we've learned from this evaluation, it's useless to us. It's absolutely useless. So, yes, we have to do something about reading recovery. And, yes, we have to see where that fits in with our so-called balanced literacy approach and what we're going to do for kids. There is nothing more precious than the time a teacher spends one-on-one with a child. And that is so rare. It is so impossible with today's youngest children in our district. And seriously overburdened teachers, even in a class of 15. And we have got a group of people that actually go one-on-one with a child that may never see it again in their lives. It's too important to them. We have to make it work. You know, and I know as parents, that the best time we spent with our children was that one-on-one. That's how I taught my children to read. That's how you taught your children anything. And this is a really unique and special program, today more than ever, perhaps. So let's make it work for us as a part of the greater program and make it successful. And that's all I have to say tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Moss.
Yes, I'd just like to echo Ms. Passman's comments of thank you very much, because in the strategic plan, we did ask for programs to be evaluated, and you did a great job in evaluating reading recovery and making a recommendation. And I'm not going to repeat what she said, but I think it does fit into the big picture, which is what we want to look at. And so I was wondering, it might not be my place to ask this question, but I was wondering if the board wanted, if we're going to vote on this report, or if we want more to it, or where are we going? I'm a little bit confused about what we're going to be doing, I guess, next week in the meeting with this report. So,
yeah, I probably should defer to the superintendent, but it sounded like through the discussion that by approving this always happens. By approving this, there's a cascading effect that goes on throughout the district. And so you tell us what you're wanting.
What we're asking of you is to, in approving this report, in addition, our recommendation is to option number two. And that is in line with the model of improving reading recovery, focusing on meeting the needs of the 20% across the district. We haven't identified a final staffing proposal for that. Sue alluded earlier that there are a couple of ideas that, you know, we have in terms of the delivery of that. But right now we're structured to deliver the program at all the schools with more limited FTE. This would place more FTE, but at a fewer number of schools. But in essence, what we want to be able to do is to move forward and implement that second option. Also in this report, as I mentioned earlier, is the recommendation to evaluate again. And we're talking 1 to 2 years in timeline. We're certainly open to ideas about what's a realistic timeline. And then look at the results, because if this is meeting the goals that we're hoping to accomplish, that's one thing. If it's not, then we do have to do something else. And so that evaluation piece is also part of the recommendation.
Okay.
Have I missed anything?
No, not that you've missed anything, but I think that many of you have echoed the fact that reading recovery is one component within the full balanced literacy program. We need to enhance what that looks like from school to school. And I think, Marge, you had talked about the three presenters who talked about the effectiveness of their schools. And we know it's because they wrap services around reading recovery in kindergarten and then again through after reading recovery lessons are there. And we have to model those best practices in this tiered intervention that we're moving towards as a comprehensive literacy program. So we do have to define better, I think, for the public what that program really looks like and how reading recovery in Title I fit into the balanced literacy.
Okay, Mr. Winston.
I have one more. Well, I guess this is just a kind of a specific follow-up to that. And I was wondering, for a reading recovery teacher, how much time would you spend with a child or with the children individually, and then how much time is spent in consultation with the IRTs and the other teachers? So when does it become more of a professional development program or position, I guess? Or is it, yeah?
There are actually four teaching slots every day that are about half an hour apiece. And in between those times, there's time for teachers to do planning for lessons. And because they're very individualized, it's important that we spend a fair amount of time looking over lesson records from day to day, week to week, and doing that sort of planning. And I don't know if there's teachers are constantly in contact with classroom teachers, with parents, with the IRTs at grade level meetings. I don't know that there's a specific time that each teacher sets aside for that, but it's a really important part of what we do, that collaboration piece. And staff are busy, classroom teachers are busy, so catching those teachers and doing that collaboration varies from teacher to teacher and building to building.
Okay. And this staff development or consultation would cover all the entire day. It's not just for that literacy block. I mean, I would assume that they would be the teachers would be teaching social studies and using the ideas of reading recovery. I mean, surely if they're reading a social studies text, then they can apply to other parts of the school day. I mean, do you find that teachers that's what's happening?
Or are you talking about classroom teachers?
Yes. Classroom teachers, right.
That's called just transferring your knowledge from one subject area to another and using the strategies. Like a fifth grade class may do a compare and contrast writing, and then they will do an oral assessment of that writing based on what they know in balanced literacy and carry it on and extending it through the day. So that happens across the district, and it varies from classroom to classroom as to how mm-hmm. teachers are skilled in doing it. But that's the ideal thing that we want to happen.
That's the ideal, and that gives you much bigger bang for your buck because you're also getting the professional development time and hours.
If I may add, reading recovery teachers are often involved in helping with in-services for teachers. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes your reading instruction best is if you know how to analyze what's happening with the reader that's reading in front of you. And so often we help with helping teachers learn how to analyze running records or take running records so that they are able to understand what it is that will help that particular child get out of the muddle they're in, that they're not moving up levels. Because there's often very different hypotheses you can come up to. And so a close analysis of what the child is actually doing helps teachers figure that out.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Winston?
I just what Dr. Aplinap just said about the services and what each school would be doing. I would be interested in hearing about that piece and what we're doing district-wide in that realm. I mean, this isn't something that, this isn't a pilot. You know, well, let's try it out, see if it, no, either we all got to get on the boat or we got to find something that everybody gets in on because our district is too mobile mm-hmm. for students to not receive the types of reading skills that they need in order to achieve. There's just no way that can happen. So, I guess maybe was that in the report, or maybe I missed that, Dr.
We can get that information for you.
Well, I guess my thoughts, personally, would be to think about how this program works in the larger context mm-hmm. of the district. All the schools that either are receiving reading recovery and just in general in terms of reading in general throughout the district. And I guess I know this is a reading recovery recommendation, but I just feel like the discussion or the issue is much larger than just reading recovery. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think your comments truly make it so, and that reading recovery is just is one piece that obviously we're focusing in on tonight, but the actual issue is much larger than that. So I guess I would like to hear something along those lines, Superintendent, how are these services, in terms of wrapping around this student who is struggling to read, and how reading recovery is part of it, but then how our entire reading program is designed to help kids throughout the district. Now, obviously, we're starting at a first grade or kindergarten level, first grade, and moving upwards and on. And if that means other situations need to happen, such as staff development, I'd like to see those things too. Because it seems like, to me, several of you are doing well, and the schools are doing well, and how are we getting the schools that are not getting the desired effect? How are we getting them, propelling them upwards? And obviously, I can see from the panel here that obviously your schools are doing well, and we'd just like to see that throughout our entire district.
I was going to call on myself again and then call on Ms. Silvera. I wanted to just respond to what Mr. Winston was saying, and that I do think this is bigger than reading recovery. I'm just a little bit uncomfortable with the motion as it is right now, because I feel like this opened a box, and I honestly did have a reaction when the superintendent said that we would reevaluate our entire reading program, that it may be another 1 or 2 years. So maybe you need to clarify that for me, because if we are going to go with full implementation and work on what's good, one thing I think that I would like to see addressed is Mr. Hughes' comments about what is the response to the fact that the numbers don't look that good. Is it because of kids? Is it because of we haven't implemented this correctly? Give us an answer so we know. And then we're still only meeting the needs of a couple hundred kids, so we need to have something in place, or we at least need to know what that body of knowledge is. And begin looking at all the different programs in the district. So I'm uncomfortable voting if that means that as a result we're not going to look at reading as a whole for another few years. Go ahead.
My comments about evaluation at the end of my last comment was about reading recovery in terms of ensuring that after a period of time we're going to look again at whether or not this resulted in better things. I'd like to offer my comment now relative to overall evaluation. I mean, you're absolutely correct. Tonight we're here to look at one particular but yet very important program, a reading intervention, a Tier 2 reading intervention called Reading Recovery. And I absolutely am in agreement that there's a need to look at the bigger picture around reading. Later on, under the Planning and Development Committee agenda, we have some recommendations regarding priority one within the strategic plan, the funding recommendation. There is a specific recommendation in there relative to evaluation of programs. That is a commitment to get at more intensely what's found in the strategic plan regarding evaluation of programs. I would have no problem, although I would like an opportunity to have a conversation with staff, that perhaps if this is our highest priority, and I think there's a clear reason why reading should be our highest priority, that we look, if the board supports that particular recommendation, that we could look at getting at more quickly or more effectively at a conversation and evaluation about our entire reading initiative in the district. That may be a way to leverage that. There might be other ways to leverage that, but my main message is I'm in agreement with the need to look at the complete effort within the district at reading, because it all interlocks, This is one piece of it. It's an important piece, but there are more pieces. And I guess I just want to convey to you the importance of your message tonight about the due diligence that, you know, I heard relative to a program like this. And these are not easy questions, but they're important questions because the reality of it is we have scarce resources. They need to be applied appropriately. I want to convey that if this isn't what works after a period of time and our evaluation of reading, if we do that entire evaluation, is finding gaps, we need to make changes. And I have not foreclosed any particular idea about a reading program other than the fact that it should be research-based. And if we go in a particular direction, we need to be prepared to implement it with fidelity and with professional development and whatever goes with that. But I want you to know that I have not taken any options off the table. The question are, what are the things that we need to do to improve our effort with reading? This is the right conversation, as hard as it is. And I, in fact, want to commend you as board members for raising these types of questions, allowing us to think through things in a more comprehensive way. And that's what we'll do if that's what you wish.
Ms. Silvera?
I'll just be quick. I just wanted to say I view this motion as more than reading recovery, because if we pass the motion to approve and authorize the implementation of the changes to MMSD's reading recovery program as outlined, then we're pulling reading recovery out of some other schools. We're leaving schools without reading recovery, and we're giving them question mark. I'm not sure exactly what the IRT balanced literacy Title I help is. And so maybe it makes sense for reading recovery. I have no clue if what is happening in those other schools, and that's part of my confusion tonight. And so I do view it, although it's under reading recovery in the title, it is more because we are yanking from some schools and leaving them with something that I can't define. And that's my...
We haven't heard from them.
What's that?
Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to hear from some of the folks from Lapham or... Okay, so that was the action item. I didn't do very well on that one, Mr. Whitson.
Oh, you did fine. You did fine.
That's a little sticky note that I'm just going to push aside. I'm going to just push it aside and see what happens. Sir?
I was just going to say that, as you know, maybe this is something that the superintendent and staff need to think about a little bit more, and I would not be, if it disappeared from the agenda from next year, saying we want to talk about it a little bit more internally or something like that, I wouldn't have a problem with that whatsoever. Wish that was tonight, but you know, the Packers are playing right now. But in terms of the agenda item itself, I just think some more talking, some more vetting, some more sifting and winnowing and all that good stuff.
Okay, so it's like a tennis lob. We're lobbing it.
But you know, that's up to the superintendent. That's up to him and the staff. Well, that's not true. No, that's not true. I meant next week.
All right, so can we just move on to number four?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. Thank you very much for your patience and hard work. While the folks up front are gathering their materials, I'm just going to say that... item four is consent items. If you have anything that you'd